Please be seated. Thank you. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to just a few verses this morning that come from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, as well as the love chapter, we're just going to read the 9 verses there. In our Burgundy Pew Bible, it's page 1059. God removed the Apostle Paul to write these words we know well. He says, if I speak the languages of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited. It does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs. It finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never ends. And then if you look at verse 13, very last verse in that chapter, it says, now there are these three, and that is faith and hope and love. Interesting, God says the greatest of these is love, is God's word. A little different message today. I basically have one point. I knew we had much going on today. Important things, prayerful time, commissioning time. But I think it's one vital point that we could chew on forever. Based on what we just read, so what's love got to do with it? I grew up listening to that song sung by, anybody remember who sang that? Tina Turner. And what does it say? What's the love got to do with it? What is it? Remember what it says it is? It's a secondhand emotion. Craig, it's very disturbing for me that you know that. I thought I heard Shirley say that's true. No, I'm just teasing. That's how we can perceive love. It's something that comes and something that goes. I kind of get that from that song. Yet then there's the other that, you know, we had, I think it was Dionne Warwick sing, What the World's Needing Love. Now it's Love, Sweet Love. It's a little thing that there, it's a thing that there's just too little of. I think that's true. I happen to like that song and think it's true. It's really what I think that Paul is saying in this passage that we read today when he talks about love. And we read this chapter when we go to weddings. But folks, I want to tell you the truth. This is not about marriage. If you read the context of this entire passage, God is using Paul to address a church at Corinth. And have to write these things so that it would reflect not just the church at Corinth, but would have an effect on the church as a whole, in the church's years to come. What makes a church truly tick, function properly? Yeah, all these things are great in marriage, it's true. But God's intention, and what he's really addressing in this passage, is a church, a group of people. And the church is not a building. This is just a building that the church meets in. And so they call the church building, because church, as we look at, and we're going to talk about more next week, is a body. It's people. The Bible says that Christ is the head, the church is his body. It's a relationship we have with Jesus Christ as his people. And it's a church, it's a body of people that have kind of gone amiss. And he says that, well, you've been called, you've been gifted. And again, we're talking about chapter 13, because I was going to talk about a lot of chapter 12 last week. The storm prevented that. So we're going to talk about that next week. But maybe that's a good way of doing it. Because what we're going to talk about is being the body and having parts and having being gifted. And what he's saying, doesn't matter what your ability is, doesn't matter what your gift is, how much you know, how powerful you are, how popular you may be, there's one thing. If love, not feeling, agape is the word. It's unconditional love, the kind of love that God has for you. I mean, not phileo, brotherly love that we talk about in the city of Philadelphia. Two other kinds of love. This is a special love that God has for his people called unconditional, 100% all-out love. If that's not part of us as Christians, then Paul makes a very stirring statement, because we are nothing, we gain nothing, it profits us nothing. And the reason I accentuate this is because I read something very interesting, and I'm getting a lot of surveys recently about this. Surveys that indicate that a growing number of people in America, the majority of Americans today, are becoming more and more disenchanted with the church. Philip Nation from Lifeway Research on Jesus.org writes these words: "It has been in vogue over the last few years for the people of Christ to claim to love, they love spirituality, but they reject religion. Quote, the impulse behind this statement has led to an unusual application toward Christianity. It surfaces when people say that they really do like Jesus, but they don't like his church. Or, as Mahatma Gandhi has been reportedly quoted as saying to Christians, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ." And what he writes is, he writes this, Philip Nation, he says, what's very disconcerting about that is that seems to be expressed by the neighbor down the street. And his great concern is that we don't want people, and he includes their Christians who are getting that same sentiment, rejecting the church anymore, because there's something missing. What was missing is love. Let me describe it in this way. Back in 19... I'm not going to tell you, because then you'll know how old I am, and you'll know how Patty is, and she'll be very upset when we go out to dinner this afternoon, so we're not going to do that. Back when I was ending 8th grade, going into 9th grade, my dad determined he was going to get a call to leave the church in Quakertown area and move to Sabaton. That was not one of the most exciting moves for me to make, because, you know, being a minister's family, you move around quite a bit, but we had been there for enough years that I'd gotten myself established in an awesome community with an awesome group of friends. You know, it's my favorite time in my childhood, bar none. And I had just gotten myself established in sports, particularly in basketball, as a player on the team, and in music and band. I was in a jazz band. I sang in the chorus, although I got to admit, I sang in the chorus to hang out with the girls, but that's another story. All that happened, and all of a sudden, my dad says, we're picking up and moving. And we moved down to this new place. It was summer, so it was kind of awkward. I didn't really meet anybody, but when I went to school my first day there, some of the guys at the new school came up to me and said, I recognize you. You look very, very familiar. I said, yeah, you probably do. I recognize you, too. You play basketball on the team. He said, oh, yeah. Well, I said, I play in Quakertown. They said, we remember you. You were on the team in Quakertown. I said, yeah, I played in Quakertown. And you know what they said to me? They said, well, you know what? You missed out. They said, because we had our basketball summer camp, and coach gave us all the plays for the season. And coaches picked the team for the season, and we have our way. So sorry for you, but you won't be on the team here. Mm. Now, I understand that was probably the most important thing in my life. It was basketball at that time. I became known as the guy, whether it was winter, spring, summer, or fall, out shooting hoops. I'd shovel the courts of snow so I could shoot hoops. And that hurt. And you know how I responded? For those 4 years, I never really connected. My folks know that now. My dad talks about it. He goes, that was probably a good move for you. I never ever connected with that school. I walked on the field, graduated that day. I walked off the field, and I never looked back at that place again. I had no connection. Never went to a game. Never went to a program. Nothing. I went because I was drugged to a 10-year reunion that I was probably the first to leave and never looked back. I maintained all my friends up at the Quaketown area. That happened until this past summer when a classmate of mine reached out to me and said, why don't you come back? It's been 40 years and I think I know what went on. Why don't you come back? And it was a very stirring thing. Very emotional because I wish it was kind of what I experienced when I got there, because I had people come up to me and 4 years later said, you know what? I'm really sorry how that went. I really shouldn't have said that. I've never forgotten that. And that had really stung and that had really hurt. And you did kind of fall off the grid, didn't you? And I did. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? That's how people can look at the church. Because there's strangers who come into something that may be very, very different to them. They've never encountered this before. They've never seen a guy necessarily standing up wearing a suit, maybe with a tie, no tie, and hearing someone sing and raise your hands, sing how wonderful God is. And this thing that we do called prayer, wow. And everybody seems cloistered together in a group here and there. And what will it be like when we leave? Will they talk to you? Will they not? And people have said to me, not necessarily, I gotta be honest with you, not necessarily true of this church, but other churches they attended, that they came, went to church, and they left, and nobody said boo to them. And they felt like they were invading somebody's space and territory. They didn't feel very welcome. It seemed like they were unknown place, unknown songs, unknown ways of doing things. They just didn't fit. And that experience told them, you know, that's just something I don't need. There was something missing. What turned my heart after 40 years is people came up to me, and they were very, very different. And one of the things they said is, you know, now that we're older, we've all kind of gone through a lot of the same things. And some of us look back and see some of the things we did or didn't do and go, ouch. And people come to mind, and I had a bunch of people come up to me and say, you came to mind. And next thing you know, I have all these people, let's be friends on Facebook and reaching out. But boy, we've been so different if it had been that way 40 years ago. And then I look at myself as a pastor of a church and say, you know what, are we that way as a church? When people come to this place, first of all, do they see that we love one another? Do they see love? You know, John 3:16, and I gave a couple passages to ponder on for the week, and I just got here very quickly for the sake of time. But you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You notice where that starts? It starts, God so loved. The starting point is God so loved. We have unwittingly, because at times, and I'm not saying we just here, but as a church generally, overall throughout the world, people don't see the love of God through us anymore, it seems. I don't know how many would say amen to that. But it's what surveys tell us. That God loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world of sin. And I told you weeks ago, I'm looking at that clock. Don't worry, John, I'm looking at that clock. I got to get these guys home. Some people came a long way. I appreciate y'all for coming the distance. Some came from Philadelphia. Praise God for that. Someone said at Christmas time, what kind of God would make a world and put people in it where there's suffering and sadness, hurt, evil? And the response to that was the same kind of God that loved that kind of world so much that he came into that world himself to redeem it, to forgive it, to redeem it. Someday he's coming back again when Jesus comes back again to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. We're waiting for that day. Amen. We have a loving God. And he loved us so much he would sacrifice his one and only Son to forgive every one of our sins, past, present, and future. Amen. The sad part with that is verse 18 is the tough part for us to share, is anyone who believes in him is not condemned. We believe he doesn't condemn us. He loves us and forgives us. Anyone who does not believe is already condemned. They've already put themselves in that place. Say, God, I don't need this. I say, God doesn't send people to hell. People are heading that way because that's where they want to go anyhow. Because they don't. Someone said to me, my uncle, I know my uncle didn't believe in Jesus, didn't go to church, but I know he's in heaven. I'm like, really? Yeah, he's got to be in heaven today. I said, he's going to be the most miserable guy in heaven I know. They said, well, why would you say that? He said, didn't like Jesus, didn't like Christians, didn't like church. Now also, that's all he's hanging with today. He's got to be having a ball. God didn't send people there. That's the path we're heading. God comes after them and says, don't go there. Don't go there. I want you to come home to me. Come home to me. And that's why Jesus came. He says he's a great shepherd to seek and save those who are wandering away from him and are lost. And that's what he wants to do. And that's because they didn't choose to believe and trust him. I know these are heavy things. It's important that we know because love is important. It's demonstrated by Jesus. In John 13, Jesus has the Last Supper that he established as we celebrated that last week. And I gave you this passage. Jesus got up after that supper. He took off, laid aside his robe, took a towel. This is the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He did something that only the lowest servant in the house would do. He tied a towel, took a towel, tied around himself. He poured water in a basin and began to get down. And let him do that, he got down on his hands and knees and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel. Only the lowest servant in the house did that. And yet the King of Kings is doing it. And it says, if I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. And why did Jesus do that? He did that out of love. And he was saying, look, this is what I want from you. I want you to love, which is the next command in verse John 13. You notice that that's verse 4 and 5. It continues on. In verse 34, where he says, I give you a command, a new one. Love one another just as I've loved you. You must also love one another. But all this, but by this love. Maybe that's the number one thing to highlight what I share with you today. By this, by loving one another, by living a life of love, by this. And maybe that's what's missing in the world today and why culture is going sideways and the church doesn't seem to be making an impact because love seems to be missing. But if we get that love back as a family of Jesus Christ, by this, all people will know that you're my disciples if we love one another.
Amen.
And we serve. My dad had an experience, and it was a tough thing when my dad, who lived in a wonderful modular home for 20 years, but my mom with Alzheimer's, she was getting out and straying, and the life was getting tough. They moved into a place called Elm Terrace. It's a retirement community. He has an apartment there, and they moved in there. The day that he handed over the keys of his modular home to me, and when he and my mom walked away, it just killed me. Because I could see him walking away from what he loved so much. How is he going to make it? Went and saw him yesterday celebrating his birthday. He was born on Valentine's Day. So went down to celebrate his birthday yesterday. I had lunch with him. And we sat in his apartment. He sat there and smiled. And he said, you know what? This was such a great decision. I'm really glad we made this decision. He said, you know what? I said, you know, I introduced a guy named Len. He goes, yeah. I said, well, Len and his wife, they were our sponsors. He said, we moved in here. You know the first thing they did was? They introduced us to Len and his wife. And Len said, well, glad to have you here this morning. We'll meet you for lunch. We'll stop by. And he said, he came to our apartment, picked us up, took us down to the cafe where we had lunch. And they showed us around, came back, said, we'll see you at supper. They came before supper time. Said, now we're going to take you to the dining room. Took us over to the dining room. We had dining. And he said, and they had us sit with some other people. Came back the next day for lunch, and they had us sit with people and introduced us to those people. For supper, introduced us to those people. Showed us all these people. And so I sit there with my dad, and it takes me forever to eat. I talk long enough as it is, but B, it's hi, 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 hi. I mean, it takes you forever. The fruit's cold before you're done saying hi. But that, he said, that made all the difference. It was so easy for us to make this our home and to connect here. We get to know people that seem to love and care about one another in a retired Christian community. And it's, he said there, it's really great. Chris, my mom, she looks and goes, he's losing it. You see, I looked at it and I thought, I'm preaching this tomorrow, that love as a Christian community to take the time and say, let me show you around. And he comes yesterday. Lynn came back and said, hey, God, how's it going? Great to see that. And I was like, actually, I can see why he likes this place. Now, here's the question I'm going to conclude with today. Why is it that a group of people from America can go to a third world country? I hope I'm not misspeaking. John, would you classify the Dominican Republic and Haiti as third world, or am I wrong? Is that third world? Close enough? Developing nation, okay. I knew I'd be politically incorrect. I mean, you know what? It's just, you know. But it's poor. And these strangers show up. And in not that many weeks, we'll show some pictures of what begins on March 18th. We saw pictures of what happened back in January of people and kids singing. And they're smiling. And they're coming. Matter of fact, you won't be able to care for all the people that come, will you? And they'll be waiting in line for the care. And they'll be smiling. And they'll be loving. And why? Because people will come because they took time. They took the gifts that we'll talk about next week that God gave them. And don't put them on the shelf and say, look at my gifts. Look at my diploma. I'm really good and I'm really smart. Or they can't even say, do it here. They will travel and go into very difficult, inconvenient, and challenging experiences. And people will know that. And they will know that care and that love. And now get it, because it's love. And they'll respond to that love. And if there ever is a place and a time for a doorway for the love, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, it will be because these folks go and show that love. Because Jesus said, I was hungry and I fed you, I was naked, you clothed me. I needed music in my heart, I came and did some singing. I had some teeth that, and by the way, in case you don't know, that mouth is an important place. One of the first questions they asked me when I had my endocarditis before my heart surgery was they had my teeth broke down because that's a center place. Doc there, young, where that can enter in. It's so vital, so important, you know? And these people go and they're going to do that. And they do that there. Questions, do we do this here? Are we willing to take, they're taking and using their gifts. We're using your gifts, we'll talk about next week. B, are we willing to recognize what Paul begins by saying? I can have the ability to speak like an angel. I can prophesy like nobody prophesied. I can have the greatest faith that's ever been found. I can move a mountain just by speaking it. But if I don't have love, I'm just nothing more than a cymbal clanging away. God bless you as you all go. With the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, the power of God's Spirit as you go. And God bless each and every one of you here as a church family here. God didn't put us in this place for an accident. We are here on purpose. He's got a reason for us being here. He's given us gifts to use in here. But without love, it's nothing. What does love have to do with it? That's the only one thing I want you to take with you today. What does love have to do with it? There's one word. You know what the word is?
Everything.
We're going to close today singing a song. They will know the Christians by our love. Here's my challenge for us in the year ahead. Well, Smoke Rise, will Kimelon, will Butler, will this community know that Community Church Smoke Rise is a group of Christians because of our love? And here's the next thing I'm going to ask you to plot, and we're going to talk about it next week. Here's your homework assignment. How do we as a church and individual members of it show our love the way these folks are doing going out to DR and Haiti? How do we show this community our love? How do we engage them specifically in our love? We're going to talk about that in weeks to come. Homework assignment. Let's pray. God, thank you for being here. Thank you for your love. We love because you first loved us. Now we want to leave this place today. We want to be a reflection of that love. Right now we meet and as we leave.